People who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. For a child has been born for us, a son given to us. Authority rests upon his shoulders, and he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His authority shall grow continually, and there shall be endless peace for the throne of David and his kingdom. He will establish and uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time onward and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. I want to share a poem with you by Timothy Dudley Smith. A song was heard at Christmas. A song was heard at Christmas to wake the midnight sky, the Savior's birth and peace on earth, and praise to God on high. The angels sing at Christmas with all the hosts above, and still we sing the newborn King, his glory and his love. Our next scripture that we're reading is from Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 to 25. Hear now God's word. Now the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband, Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. "Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she had borne a son, and he named him Jesus. Poem by Marie Irish, Christmas Lights. Bright Christmas stars shine on high, golden stars in the wintry sky. Christmas candles in windows bright sends greetings into the night. While in our hearts the Christmas flame glows with a love like his who came, the infant Christ of lowly birth to bring goodwill and peace on earth. I ask that we pray. Beloved in Christ, this Christmas Eve, it is our duty and delight to prepare ourselves to hear again the message of the angels, to go in heart and mind to Bethlehem, to see this thing which is come to pass, and the babe lying in a manger. Therefore, let us hear again from Holy Scripture the tale of the loving purposes of God from the first days of our sin until the glorious redemption brought us by this holy child. And let us make this house of prayer glad with our carols of praise. But first, because this of all things would rejoice Jesus' heart, let us pray to him for the needs of the whole world and all his people. For peace upon the earth he came to save. For love and unity within the one church he did build. For goodwill among all peoples. And particularly at this time, let us remember the poor, the cold, the hungry, the oppressed, the sick and them that mourn, the lonely and the unloved, the aged and the little children, and all who know not the Lord Jesus, who love him not, or who by sin have grieved his heart of love. Lastly, let us remember all those who rejoice with us, but upon another shore and in a greater light, that multitude which no one can number, whose hope was in the world made flesh, and with whom in his Lord Jesus we forevermore are one. These prayers and praises let us humbly offer up to the throne of heaven in the words that Christ himself taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Our next scripture, our final scripture for today, is from Luke chapter 2, verse 1 to 20. Let's pray before we get into this one. Lord, we thank you for your love and care. We thank you that you have always been for us a light unto our path, helping to lead and guide us as you will. We ask you, Lord, for your help today to open up our hearts and minds and receive what it is that you have for us, so we may rejoice this day. We may rejoice and draw closer to you. Lord, we pray that this is from you, for we thank you for your presence and your love. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own homes to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news, a great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. This is the word of God for the people of God. So what is Christmas anyway? I got to say, this is a question that I've been asking myself over and over and over again this past Advent. There's no doubt, and everyone is aware, that we have had lots of challenges this year. The pandemic has not been easy on anybody, but has changed all of our lives and all of our ways of doing things. So I ponder, what is Christmas anyway? Made me think of the Christmases that I had as a boy, still am a boy, growing up, still am growing up. But as a younger boy growing up, we had traditions upon traditions upon traditions upon traditions. My dad had so many traditions for us that we practiced every year. And it was helpful. It was nice in a lot of ways because my family, we moved a lot. We lived in five or six different places growing up. That may not be a lot for some, but it was enough for me. But those traditions constantly remained the same. When Christmas came, we could always count on the same things happening year after year, no matter where we found ourselves. The Friday after Thanksgiving, day after Thanksgiving, like clockwork, Dad would call us downstairs as soon as we woke up. The boxes, we'd have to go in the garage or the basement or the attic or wherever they were, pull them out, empty them, and decorate that day. All that day. It was a long day. Everything, the outside of the house, the inside of the house, the Christmas tree, all of it had to be done on that day. And Christmas music was playing the entire time. Now, there were four of us siblings, of which I'm the oldest. And as being the oldest, I got the distinct pleasure, or honor, I should say, of taking care of baby Jesus. So I would take baby Jesus, and I would put him in my underwear drawer where he was safe. Right underneath my whitey-tighties. Right there. And they would stay there. Baby Jesus would stay there all through Advent. Christmas morning would show up. My parents probably got an hour of sleep. We would wake up at 5 o'clock in the morning. Again, not because of us kids, but because of my dad. He'd wake us 5 o'clock in the morning. I would go get baby Jesus. We'd sit at the top of the steps, and we would wait. Why my dad would wake us up just to make us wait, I'll never know. But they would go downstairs and finish doing whatever it is they were doing. Then we'd all come downstairs. They would take our pictures. I would put baby Jesus in the manger. My youngest brother would get the family Bible. You know, the ones that are like tomes, the big, huge ones. He would grab that and toddle over to my dad and give it to him. And we'd all sit in our assigned seats, which was marked by our presence. We'd have our blankets wrapped around us. All of it, I tell you this from heart, because every year was the exact same from the time I could remember, from like 3 or 4 years old to the time. Stephanie and I spent our first Christmas at my house, and I was a married man, and we, same thing. We sat down in the living room next to our gifts. Well, Dad read the Christmas story, same thing. If Dad still had and Mom still had kids in the house, they would still be doing it. And it was nice. We could count on it. Christmas for me was a time of about family. It was about traditions. It was like a blanket you would pull out of the dryer and wrapped around you. It was warm and it was comforting. And we could count on it. No matter what our financial situation was like, no matter where we live, it's the same every year. It was nice. And now that I have my own family and Stephanie has her traditions, we brought them together and we do the best we can with our kids. They can count on Christmas looking similar year after year after year. And then 2020, where this thing hits and it can't look like that anymore. I've been racking my mind, so what is Christmas anyway? Because some of the traditions we do, we can't do anymore. We can't gather together in the church like we had planned or hoped. We're doing the best we can, but it doesn't look the same. So I decided to do a little bit of research. And we go back. So let's go back to the first Christmas ever celebrated, which was what year? Yeah, I don't know. It's probably right around 4 BCE or 2 8 AD. Somewhere around. When Jesus was born, or somewhere during that time. It's a long time ago. Now, we just read the story, so you know what that looks like. So let's skip now to the second Christmas ever celebrated. When did that happen? Second Christmas ever celebrated, on record, that we're aware of. 336 AD. So the interesting thing about this is that as a church, here and now, in year 2020, in a modern day church that we're used to, whenever we start to do new things or we check our spiritual pulse, oftentimes what we do is we go back to the early church in order to see how well we're doing as a church. So the Acts church, right? And we look at Acts and we compare ourselves to the Acts church and we ask ourselves, are we doing what the Acts church is doing? Because when we think about the perfect church, the good church, the church that pleased God, that Acts church comes up in our mind. Because they were They were righteous. They were humble. They were on fire. They were passionate. They were joyful. They were hungry to share God's word. And so we compare to that church. How are we doing in serving Christ? And it's interesting to note that that church never celebrated Christmas. Ever. That early church and the Acts church for the first 300 years never celebrated the birth of Jesus, not once. It was not something that they felt like they needed to do. In fact, they never celebrated a birthday. A birthday celebration was a pagan ritual, not fit for the church. What they did celebrate, however, was martyrs' deaths. That's the day that they celebrated the most. Not the birth, but the death. For 300 years, Christmas was never even thought of. And then 336 or somewhere around there, the first Christmas was celebrated. And then we jump forward to the year 1100, or right around there. And that introduced to us the first nativity. The first nativity and first live nativity happened around 1100 AD with St. Francis of Assisi. That is, well, math is not my strong point. 11 minus 3, 800 years that they had a Christmas without a nativity. And you want to hear about some more confusion. What day is Christmas celebrated? The church couldn't figure that out for hundreds of years. Let me even say thousands of years. The church still can't agree when Christmas is celebrated. There are two popular days to celebrate Christmas. I'll give you the first one, December 25th. What's the second one? January, 6th, 7th, 10th, something like that. 3rd, 4th, out. Sometime in January. The Western Church, which we're a part of, celebrates Christmas on December 25th. The Eastern Church celebrates the day of Jesus' birth in January. Do you know why December 25th and January, whatever that day is, was picked? Not because that's when they thought Jesus was born, but for theological reasons. Because it was around the winter solstice. After the winter solstice, the days start getting longer. Jesus is the light of the world, which lengthens the days. And so they picked that day to represent the birth of Jesus. Fast forward now to about 1600 in our medieval periods, and Christmas starts changing again. In fact, the church bans Christmas. Is an atrocious day to celebrate. The church doesn't recognize Christmas celebrations at all because the celebrations of Christmas during most of the medieval days, prior to 1600 anyway, was filled with drunkenness and promiscuity. If you want to try to picture it in your mind, think Mardi Gras, like the worst side of it. That was Christmas celebration. Church hated that kind of stuff, and think it had anything, any place within its celebration. Even they would elect a court jester or a fool to be their mayor of the town. They called it misrule, and that fool, that court jester, he would create rules that were supposed to be followed on that day. An example of that rule was no one should be in the streets unless they're drunk. That would be a rule for Christmas Day. Things have changed. Fast forward now just a little bit, just a hair, and then we got Christmas caroling. Everyone loves Christmas caroling. Christmas carols were originally banned for a time from the church. No one was able to sing them because they were considered not fit for the church consumption. Christmas caroling was also a very interesting endeavor. It was mostly done by the poor class. And they would go to the rich area and sing Christmas carols for the rich. And the rich, traditionally, were supposed to thank them by inviting them in for a drink or a meal or giving them some kind of small token or whatever. And if, for some reason, the rich person did not do this, the poor people would vandalize their home. This was Christmas caroling. at one point. Well, not anymore. That sounds a little more like, Halloween, you know, than anything else. This does not sound like our Christmas at all, does it? Where does our Christmas come from? Who started our Christmas? What's that? You'll recognize these names, I think. The names are Charles Dickinson and Washington Irving. They wrote stories of which you may be familiar with. Christmas Carol. Remember that one? Scrooge, Bah Humbug, all that kind of stuff. Washington Irving also wrote a few Christmas stories about his time in England and how he celebrated Christmas. And in those stories, we get things like the importance on family gatherings. We get the importance of gift giving. Gift giving was present before that, but it made a big splash during this time. The Christmas trees celebrations, the decorations, the lights, the spirit of Christmas, which is represented by what? Kindness, joy, gratefulness, thanksgiving, generosity. This Christmas we recognize. And it is a very recent thing. In the mid-1800s, the Christmas that we recognize, that's when it started. This is the one that we love. And I kept on asking myself, so what is Christmas anyway? We look back at Christmas's history through all the years, and it's changed. We only celebrate the way that we celebrate Christmas now because of a couple authors. They had some good ideas. So I think the best Christmas to go back to, the one at the beginning, would be the first one. And what was that Christmas like? I've got to say, as far as celebrations and Christmas go, that one was pretty awful. Nothing went according to plan. Well, I can't say this with a straight face, and you guys wouldn't know if I'm smiling anyway. But if I were pregnant, I wouldn't want to be on a donkey at nine months pregnant. I can't imagine what Mary felt traveling at that time of her life. I think they were excited to go to Bethlehem. Probably not. Something they had to do. It was part of their taxation, part of their counting, part of their census. They had to do it. Mary is probably miserable. And I can't imagine what Joseph felt like pulling that donkey. I'm not calling Mary a donkey. I mean, pulling the donkey that Mary's sitting on. All that way with the woman who's 9 months pregnant. Getting into a car ride with someone who's that pregnant sometimes is not the most enjoyable thing. Being on a donkey. And then they're looking forward. Their destination is almost there. They see that the Bethlehem on the horizon. They can't wait to get in the inn, to be in a place of comfort. And they show up and there's no room. The innkeeper does his very best. I don't think he's a bad guy. People think he is. I think he really tried. But he gives them a place in the back. It's sheltered, but it's the best they got. Mary says it's time. Trying to halt the pregnancy is, can't do it. So it's time. She gives birth to a child, to Jesus, the child. She doesn't have anything to wrap him in, so rips pieces of cloth and wraps him in that. Lays him in a manger. He is probably 6 inches away from some sort of poop. This is not the place that I or anyone else would want to have any of their children, even the last child. This is not ideal. Nothing has gone right. Everything has been hard and difficult. and trying. Their plans that they've made have come to ruin. This is the first Christmas. It's not all about family. It's not really all about happiness either. But what it is all about is Jesus. It's all about Jesus. You know what? I appreciate that. Because how many times have we said Christmas is ruined? Or thought, you know, I hope if bad things happen, it's not over the holidays. Why is it that we don't want bad things happen over the holidays, but we don't mind if they happen so much? I mean, we always mind, but the holidays make it worse. It all started in 1800s with Washington Irving and Charles Dickinson. Because the spirit of Christmas is supposed to be joy, happiness, celebration. And if you have a loved one who dies, my grandfather died December 15th when I was 9 years old. I can't say it ruined Christmas. I can't remember that much, but I'm sure it didn't make my family happy. December 15th. It's a terrible time to die. Right around Christmas. It's almost like saying you can die any other time, but not around the holidays. I don't know what that's all about. But you see, remembering that Christmas is about Jesus and Jesus alone. That when something bad happens, we feel this grief and this pain, which is the antithesis of what Christmas is supposed to be. Joy and happiness and excitement and celebration. When someone dies, we experience joy or we experience pain and mourning. And fear and doubt and all these other negative emotions, so we say our Christmas is ruined. But when we look at the first Christmas, and that it's all about Jesus. Jesus was born into a broken world where things were not perfect, where things were awful, where things didn't go to plan. And yet, Mary, seeing everything that happened, treasured them in her heart. She was able to take it. Because the truth is, what Jesus gives us on Christmas Day, Jesus being the center, is the truth that God is with us. If you are happy and joyful and excited and celebratory around Christmas Day, Christmas is for you. Celebrate Christmas with all the passion and decorations that you can muster. If you're heartbroken, lonely, sad, you feel like no one understands you, you feel alone and afraid, Christmas is for you because Jesus is with you. Because Christ gives us a place to lean upon and reminds us that we're not alone. We may not have the passion to celebrate. We may not have the passion, any passion at all. But Christmas is about Jesus with us, and that doesn't go away. That is not ruined. I told you my dad was so excited to celebrate Christmas. My mom, January 1st, was so excited to take everything down. Hated Christmas. Because for her, Christmas should have meant family. And Christmas only reminded her that her parents lived in Myrtle Beach. Her brother lived in Texas. And her sister lived a couple hours away. She had nobody. She couldn't wait to get those back. But the center of Christmas is not family. The center of Christmas is not gift giving. It's not Christmas tree raising. It's not cookies. It's Jesus alone. It's saying, as we said in the children's message, thank you. That, and that only, is what Christmas is about. The other things are nice, and they're helpful, and they're worth celebrating. But they're not everything. They're not the center. Christ is the center. And so, as I ask myself time and again, what is Christmas anyway? Because I was getting frustrated. I was getting angry at the things that were happening, that I couldn't do it as I've always done it. Through reading the scripture again, I was reminded that it's only about Christ anyway. It's not even about me. It's about what Jesus has done. And so we're able to rejoice. No matter what's going on around us, no matter how it is we feel, we can rejoice either at the top of our lungs or in a still small whisper, whatever we can manage, because we're not alone. And that's what Christmas reminds us. We're not alone. And we can place one foot in front of the other and keep moving. We thank you, Jesus, for all that you've done for us, for your love, your care, your leadership, your patience. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for you. Merry Christmas and happy birthday. Close with this benediction from Kara Heafy from the UK. Christmas blessing. Let us go from this place proclaiming that we have seen the glory of God, believing that there is a light that shines in the darkness, which the darkness shall not overcome. And may the love of the Creator, the joy of the Spirit, and the peace of the Christ child be with you this Christmas and evermore. Amen and amen. Merry Christmas and go in peace.